Let's get started. Everybody pick up your hymnals. Let's turn to page number 29. Page 29.
Though shadows deepen and my heart bleeds, I will not question the way he leads. This silent
Oh, Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? You're awesome.
Never better.
Ever better? Good to see all you smiling faces out here today. And glad you chose to come and worship with us this morning. And on to our visitors, we just invite you to just open your hearts and worship God with us. That's what our desire here is today, is to worship and honor God. And we're just glad to have you here. And so we have a few announcements. We'll get to that and have a, a thank you card I'd like to read first. Said, just want to thank you. Says, church family, and ask the Lord to shower you with his blessings. So I don't have enough words to say how thankful I am for you. I love you with all of my heart, and thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you for my birthday present, and thank you for the love you always give. You are a blessing to me. Love, Cindy. We are very blessed to be here and have a great, great church family.
Amen.
All right. Oak Hill welcomes Tim Ragsdale to our church family in your bulletin. We're glad to have Brother Tim here as part of our membership, and hope that we can be a blessing to him. We know he will be to us. So we're very thankful for Tim. All right. A couple of things. You know, we're fixing to get into the busy time of the year. Right now, it's not so busy, so take a breath. And enjoy it. It won't last long. Here in about a month, this wall will be full of announcements of this, that, and other, and everything else. Now, I say that with just a little bit of humor, because it seems like that in our personal family, there's birthday after birthday after birthday for the next 2 months. So y'all might get a break. We don't. So y'all pray for us as we go to 47 birthday parties in the next 2 months. Yes, sir. Twice a year. Well, Cindy's not nearly as old as y'all, so hers just comes one at a time, one and a half times.
Two Christmas, two birthdays.
I'm looking forward to that, I guess. Right? Okay. Twice a year. It seems like that's about like that now for me. Okay. This morning will be the second time plate is passed will be our building fund offering. And the building fund offering, we use that for repairs for the church. We've done a lot of remodeling. It paid for the sound equipment, the remodels over in the fellowship hall, and some upcoming things that we've got in the works. So if you don't know what those are, next Sunday night is our business meeting. And the way to keep up with what's going on here at the church, as far as the building funds and things like that, is to attend the business meetings.
Amen.
And then you can voice your opinion and know what's going on. So it's gotten, but it's up to us to use it prudently. Okay, so there you go. Tonight is the Lord's Supper, so to our members, please come back tonight. Miss Mandy Buck's going to prepare that. We do this once a quarter at least, sometimes a little more often. So I encourage you to come. It's a very solemn and holy occasion. And if you're not taking part in it, you're missing a blessing. I see. All right. Business meeting, I've already said. Also, that is our annual financial report. So this business meeting, you'll get to see what all we've done in the last year and maybe find out some stuff we got planned for the next coming year, this being our fiscal year end. So come for that. Nursery attendance this morning, Mary Lou and Leonard. Next Sunday is Sam and Donna. Any other announcements? Did I miss anything? No?
Really special music coming up a little later. Brother Sam, I'll leave it up to you to introduce Brother Mark after we get through. I am your new choir director for the year. You may not have me very long, I promise you. I would like to give a great thanks to Brother Travis. He has done a lot of good and spent a lot of years as your music director and been very faithful. And so let's give Brother Travis a round of applause. Also, would like to thank Brother Russell and Sister Georgia. They got our new choir books done. We have not had the opportunity to rehearsed with them yet, nor have I had the opportunity to rehearse with the choir. So we're going to go back and rely on an old faithful this morning that we really love to do and we really enjoy it. It's got a great message. An old song entitled, His Grace is Sufficient.
I've told y'all many times in the past how that sometimes, or a lot of times, or all the time in my life, God places people in your life along the way. And I just want to say that Mark and Janice have just been the greatest friends and prayer warriors, and we love them so dearly. Asked Mark to sing this morning. I love to hear him sing. God has greatly blessed this man. So just enjoy. Love you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you. Yep. Well, you know, I got to share that it's been one of the burdens for Janice and I to have to realize that Sam and Cindy are leading this church, and you poor... They've been friends of ours for a long time, and we so appreciate them and their heart. But one of the things this kind of church provides for us as far as our encouragement in our life... This is ringing a little bit. I don't know why, but... And that is the faithful. We see the faithful right here, okay? People being faithful to Christ no matter what this world's doing, no matter what life throws at them, they're being faithful to the Lord. And this song is one of our favorites that I've been singing for years called Find Us Faithful. And it talks about how we need to have lives that pass on to the next generations the truth. Amen? So I'd like to sing that now. It's plenty loud.
great a cloud of witnesses. Let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithfulness passed on.
Doesn't relieve me of my responsibility to do the best that I can. So y'all pray for me Thank you for your patience. We're going to talk about communication some today. It's vitally important in our relationships. First week we talked about love, the agape love, the love that God has for us, you know, the one that gives no matter what we do, right? That's not natural to us, but it is natural to God. God is love, and that's the kind of love that no matter what, it's a covenant love, okay? A covenant literally means that God does what he says he will do no matter what we do. Not like a contract, which requires both parties to interact. God has that love. That's why he sent Jesus, and that's why Jesus chose to come. It's that loving, giving, agape love, okay? Last week, week two, we talked about love as well, but we talked about love more on our level, the love that is too often in relationships based on feelings. So many marriages and relationships end wrongly because they started wrong on a feeling that they call love instead of exploring what love really is. And we talked about, feelings require more feelings, and you can't build on those, really. That those go away over time. If you haven't heard all these, you can get them online at our website. If you have to decide to love. Amen? Love, that old action word that we don't like, it's called work. Every relationship requires work, okay, from everybody involved. All right. Last week also, I talked to you just a little bit about a book that I encourage everyone to read. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. I told you that I require this from all my premarital counseling sessions and even marital counseling, but I recommend it to you as well. I believe that the book will help everyone that's sitting in this sanctuary right now if you will read it and apply it. I highly recommend it. It's all about communication, okay? And we have problems in communication, okay? Communication is one of the hardest obstacles to overcome in a relationship. Now, if you don't understand that, I got some news for you. So open your ears and your hearts, okay? We're going to talk about it just a little bit. Now, you may be sitting out there and you may be thinking, well, now what in the world is he talking about? We all speak English here. We can all talk to each other. Yeah, we can talk. But are we communicating? There's a big difference in talking and communicating, okay? Here, more about that in just a minute. I want to start off by saying this. Be very careful what you say and how you say it, okay? And Proverbs 25:11 says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. So a word rightly spoken has great value, okay? Now, if that's true, and it is, you know why I know it is? Because God saw fit to put it in his word to us. It's true, okay? Then if that's true, though, a word unfitly spoken must be like rotten apples in a box, broken box, right? You get the picture? Be careful what you say. Now, when you say something, you can't get it back. I mean, it's out there. I mean, when you speak it, it's gone and you can't reach out there and pull it back. You might get forgiveness for it. You might regret what you said, but it's out there. It's out there. You might, try to explain why you said what you said or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, choose your words carefully because they impact people's lives around you greatly, either in a positive or a negative way. Okay? So, you might be forgiven for what you say, but you can't take it back. The hurt's still there. Okay? We don't get any do-overs, OK? can't say stop, wait just a minute, let's rewind the tape. I want to say that differently. So think before you speak. All right, no, oops, I wish I hadn't have said that. Lord, I've had many of those. All right, okay. Psalms 19:14 says, let the words of thy mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. I think words of my mouth, what I say, and the meditation of my heart. Okay? From the heart comes the talk. Amen? So if you have an issue with the language, you might ought to examine the heart condition. Okay? Meditate. Think. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto in the sight of the Lord. All right, so if we're going to do that, we must think before we speak, and we can't go around holding a grudge about what other people say. Okay? Now, if you say something that offends me, I forgive you. I'll just tell you right now, because I don't have time for going around holding a grudge, and because the Bible tells me not to. Okay? So, but think. Okay, another sermon. All right? I'm getting sideways. Chasing a rabbit there. I'm going to go back. Words. Communication. Now, it should be easy for us to communicate, but it's not. Okay? Relationships require work and communication skills. Now, guys, I'll talk to you for just a second. Ever ask your lady where she wants to go to eat? Oh, I don't care. Well, what about Olive Garden? Well, I'm really not in the mood for that kind of food today. Oh, so you really do care? No, I don't care. You choose. Ever been down that road? Okay. And then I say, oh, no, you just tell me where you want to go. I'll tell you how bad it is sometimes. If we're going to go eat, I'll just jump in the passenger seat and say, okay, it's your turn to choose. You drive. When we get there, I'll eat. Right? So, what about, it don't really matter. If that's what you want, it's okay. Plainly, she does not want to go there. Okay? Now, fellas, we can drive all the way to town, and when we get there, we still don't know where they want to eat. Right? Oh, by the way, she knows where she wants to go to eat the whole time. She just won't say it. Now, I guess really, guys, she thinks that we're supposed to read her mind, have that ESP or something. I'm not sure. Okay? Face it. We do have communication problems, right? Okay? We have them. Now, we have those communication problems because God made us different. We're talking about physical differences today. We're going to talk about that later. So you have to come back for that one. I'm talking about personalities, the way we express ourselves, the way we think. We're different, okay? You ever heard that old book? It's an old book. It says, women are from Venus, men are from Mars. It's just about like that, really. We're just like nerdy. We came from two different planets. Now, here's what I think. I think that God made us that way so that when we come together, we're rightly joined together and we become one flesh and we complement each other. God never meant for us to spend our life alone. God always has meant for a man and a woman to come together in holy matrimony and become one flesh, because together we make a completed unit. Okay? Remember? One flesh. Now, here's part of the reason that we have communication issues. It's not about the restaurant. It goes deeper. Okay? Guys and girls, a brain, I want you to picture this in your mind. A brain is like a round library room. Whenever I think about the brain, I think of this room that I'm sitting in that's round and it has books on shelves from the bottom all the way to the top. So let's just replace the book image with box. Okay? This library room is full of boxes. and they're just all around and around everywhere you turn, and just level after level. Now, these boxes are sitting there. There's a box in this room for everything. Everything in life, there's a box there for. Now, what do we want to eat? There's a box there for that. Okay? What bill is due? There's a box in there for that. Financial issues. What color shoes to wear? Yeah, guys, there's the boxes in there for that too. Okay? Who's coming? Who's staying? What are we doing? All these things. There's a whole room full of these boxes. Now, I picture my wife and women in general, okay, sitting in the middle of this room, and there's all kinds of boxes open, scattered around them, and they're playing with all of them at the same time. Would you agree with that? Women are multitaskers, okay? They can deal with more than one box at a time. And so whenever I see my bride, I see her sitting in the middle of this room with boxes open, scattered all around. Okay, so, right? I have trouble with that. She can do it. She might be thinking about Aunt Martha in another town while she's doing all that. Or she might be thinking about what the baby needs or the grandchild needs or what I need. But she's sitting there with all these boxes scattered around her. Now, men are different, okay? And to me, this is very plain. Men deal with one box at a time, okay? So when I look at me in the room, here's what I see. I see me standing in the room, and whatever I'm dealing with, I reach up and I get that box and I pull it out and I open it up. And I deal with what's in the box. And I don't want any more boxes open, okay? Now, we take them out one at a time, we deal with them, we put them up, we get another box, we pull it out, we deal with it. Right? Okay, what winds up happening a lot of times is I'm dealing with my box. And she's dealing with her boxes. And she's talking to me at the process. And I'm trying to deal with my box. And she may have asked me 10 questions about 10 different things, but I'm concentrating on my box. You know what happens? You don't listen to one thing I say. So sometimes I just have to back up and say, well, if you'll just let me put my box back on its shelf, then I can deal with the box. But you got to give me time, and she'll grin, and we're okay. But you get it, guys? I mean, we got to learn how to communicate, right? And girls, now, y'all expect a lot of us. We're a one-box-at-a-time fella, okay? If you're not like that, God bless you. Most all the men I know are just like that. Yes, we listen, but then we have to deal with it. Okay, here we go. If we don't, you ain't listening. That's a, there's another five. Okay? Communication problems. That's part of the issue, okay? Communication problems. Here's why we have to learn how to communicate with each other. Which is the best? Most boxes are one box. Now, I don't know if there's one better than the other. I just know that God made us differently like that. And the sooner that we understand in a relationship that men are different than women and we complement each other, the sooner we can get to where we can communicate effectively. Ladies, I hate to tell you this, but y'all are better than us. Just get our boxes in order, okay? Guys, we have to get better at changing boxes quicker, okay? Most of the time, we don't have relationship issues. We have communication issues, which causes relationship issues. Now, ladies, I got to tell you this. I've been asked this before. Why do you need so many fishing poles? Well, I want to tell you, I have more than one fishing pole because each one of those fishing poles has a different bait, and I don't have to put that box up, get it. I can just lay it down and grab another one. I'm working on my communication skills by having multiple fishing poles. I'm getting quicker changing them out, see? Okay, so Cindy, you can get me more fishing poles. It helps our relationship. We're practicing changing out those boxes quicker, right, guys? Okay? The Chapman book is great because it will help you to understand some of the barriers between effective communication when we're trying to express our love one to another. Okay? I asked this question a couple weeks ago. Got some more, excuse me, folks in here. But how many of y'all read the book, Five Love Languages? There's a few, okay? And God bless you. You'll know what I'm talking about. The rest of you, get the book. Okay? All right. People communicate love in different ways. He calls them love languages or the languages of love, and he identifies five. And I want to talk about them just a little bit quickly this morning. Now, the five ways people communicate love are this. Number one, words of affirmation. Okay, what that means is words that build people up. Baby, you sure look nice today. You sure are pretty. That was sweet. You're so kind. Build up words, okay? Not those build down words. Well, you know, supper could have been better or whatever, okay? Words of affirmation. Build people up. Oh, by the way, isn't that what we're supposed to do in relationships? Build each other up. Not only in marriage relationships, but in church relationships, in Christian relationships, that's what we're supposed to do. Build each other up, okay? Words of affirmation. Now, some of you guys need to work on that. I'm just saying, take it for what it's worth. And maybe some of you ladies do too. All right, gifts. Have a pre-giver a gift. It don't have to be a big gift. Just something, anything that shows her or him that you're thinking about them when they're not there. You'd be surprised at how much that will show someone you love them, okay? You can tell them all day long. Show them, okay? Gifts. Acts of service. Now, this is a big one for me, guys. Act of service is doing something for your spouse that you know they would normally do, okay? To put it in Jesseville vernacular, here's the deal. My wife is not home, and I get home before she is, and there's dishes in the sink. If I wash them, that tells her I love her because she knows I don't like it. Right? And it's not that it won't kill you guys. Oh, and by the way, put your dirty clothes in the hamper. Oh, and I still need some work on some of this stuff, so y'all bear with me. Oh, and maybe vacuum the floor. I don't want to do that. Well, okay. Show her you love her. She does it to you all the time. She shows you that she loves you. Cook her supper one of these days. Hey, I don't care if you can cook or not. She'll appreciate it. And you're not going to learn how to cook if you don't try. Okay? Acts of service. Do something to show them that you love them, okay? Quality time. I don't know about y'all, but I value, we do, our quality time, okay? Quality time is very simply this. Giving your spouse your undivided attention, okay? And maybe turn the football game off and talk. Or just sit on the couch and hold her hand. Just give her your undivided attention, or him, okay? It goes a long way, okay? Quality time, quality time. When you look around the world today, you don't see a whole lot of quality time going on. People are too busy. Stop. And give them your undivided time. Physical touch, we all like that, right? Well, maybe not everybody. I do, okay? One of the ways that that's one of my love languages. I have a few. Excuse me. All right, holding hands. How many of y'all hold your lady's hand? Come on. Come on. The rest of you need to. Okay? Hold her hand. All right? Maybe give her a hug. Somebody, I've seen somebody at one of the visitations. We've been to so many funerals. I believe it. But a guy walked up to me. I just got finished hugging this pretty lady I'd went to school with all these many years ago. He came over there by me and he said, "Man, I'm hanging around you. Every time I see you, you're hugging somebody." I said, "I learned a long time ago, never miss an opportunity to hug a pretty girl." But you see, give them a hug. And don't expect anything in return. Just give them a hug, okay? Give them a little kiss. Being intimate. Yeah, I understand that. We're going to talk about that, you know, a little later. You have to come back for that one, okay? Now, we all have our love language, and sometimes we have more than one. Now, you can literally be yelling your love at someone and them not understand what you're saying. You see, I think the book really opens your mind up to see that sometimes I'm trying to tell you I love you in one way, and you receive love in another way, and it misses the mark. But when you can understand that people express their love different ways, then when I'm shouting my love at you, you say, "Huh, he's showing me that he loves me in his way." And it works the same way back. It's communication. We have communication issues, but we can fix it. We can fix it, okay? She does so many things for me. My wife's wonderful. Y'all know that. She's the best, okay? But we have to learn to communicate to each other in ways that we understand, okay? We need to learn to recognize the language that our spouse is speaking. Read the book. All right. Many relationships end because we are not communicating properly. Okay? "He don't love me anymore. She don't love me anymore. She never shows me that she loves me. He don't." When a lot of the times I find that they're really screaming that they love you, you're just not reading it. So, relationships need communication work. All right? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth," get this, "but that which is good to the use of edifying." Edifying is lifting up, "that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Daddy used to say, if you don't have anything good to say about somebody, don't say anything. My wife reminds me of that sometimes. And so, there for a period in my life, when I wanted to say something bad about somebody, I'd just say nothing. Right? I'd have to tell myself, but I said it out loud, "Say nothing." Okay? So, watch what comes out of your mouth. And only say things that lift people up. Let me tell you what, whenever you get to where you can do that, your heart's right. Because your communication starts in here and it comes out. It's a heart issue. Communication is a heart issue. How much do you want to be able to communicate effectively? Work on yourself. I told you in the first sermon on this series that people are looking for the right one. Let me tell you again right now, you're not going to find the right one until you fix yourself. Work on yourself and your heart. Good advice. Okay? It works while you're dating. It works in friendships. It works in churches. Okay? Lift people up. Do little things for each other. Now, y'all are some of the lovingest, caringest, givingest people I've ever been around. God bless you. It don't mean we can't be better. And it don't mean we don't need to keep working. Do little things for each other, okay? It doesn't have to be big. I mean, it doesn't have to be life-altering things, okay? Just something that makes someone feel special. Communicate that way. Works in marriages. It works in real life. It works at work. You know, sometimes you come home from work tired, all stressed out. Anybody ever do that? I've had to apologize many times. You know who gets the brunt of your frustrations? Your spouse. And guess what? They didn't do anything to deserve it. But they get it. So we have to apologize. Be careful what you say. Listen, folks. Your spouse wants to share in everything that you're doing. And when y'all communicate properly, you can just sit and talk to each other and share the good and the bad. And together, you can get through anything through Jesus. Talk to each other. Let them know what's bothering you. Don't just listen. Can we talk? Many of our frustrations come out from misunderstandings. Okay? If you have a problem with somebody, let me tell you something. Don't talk to them. Okay? And many issues in life can be worked out by just going and talking to someone instead of going and talking to everyone else. The Bible even tells us that, doesn't it? God's so wise. He tells us if we have a problem with our brother, go talk to him. And if we can't work it out, then take two or three of your other brothers. We can go talk to them. Right? Talk. Communicate. Okay? Don't put it on Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat, or whatever you're using. Everybody in the world don't need to know your problems. Work it out at home. Okay? Most of the time, it can be worked out very easily if we will just communicate. Now, we've talked about marriages some and how many marriages fail. A lot of times it's because of communication problems, okay? Don't sit across the room and text somebody. You know, you can't get any feeling out of a text, right? I hate text messages, okay? Talk to them, okay? Talk is so much better, okay? James 5:16 says this. This is one of those verses that I have highlighted, underlined, and circled in my Bible. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you be healed. The effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the first part of this chapter is talking about his healing, physical healing, praying for physical healing. And I understand that, okay? But until recently, I didn't really get this, that it's not all about the physical, okay? It still applies, but listen, healing comes in many forms. Now, if we can just communicate to one another, confess our faults one to another, then you can work out your faults, work on your faults, and acknowledge them with other people helping you through that situation. When we communicate our faults one to another, we can heal. You know? Told you many times that I believe everybody should have at least one somebody to hold you accountable for your actions. Somebody that loves you enough to say, you shouldn't be doing that. You know? I've heard preachers say that they had somebody, another pastor or deacon or close friend that would call them up and say, hey, what you been looking at this week? Let me see your device. I want to see what you've been searching for. Everybody needs to be held accountable. My wife has password to all my devices. She's free to look at them anytime she wants to. Ain't got nothing to hide. Everybody should be that way. Open. Communicate. Do we have issues? Absolutely. I have my faults. I know y'all can't see them because I'm pretty good. I'm just kidding. I got plenty of them. And I thank God that I can go to see if we can communicate. Communication. Boy, that got hung up about midway out. Communication is a vital part of spiritual healing. When we can communicate, then we can heal from the inside out. Struggling. Talk to your wife. Talk to your friend. Tell them what's troubling you. And to together we can pray through it and work through it. See, the verse is not saying confess our faults so that we can look down on each other. It's saying confess our faults one to another so we can help each other through it. Communication. You talk to a friend, your pastor, your deacon, someone you can trust. You can tell Jesus, I thank God for prayer. Amen. I thank God for prayer. You can communicate with Jesus. He gave us a direct line to God. He's sitting right on the right hand of the Father. You know what? He is our high priest. And when we pray to God, we go through Jesus Christ, and He tells God our issues, and He will help us. The Bible tells us that we have not because we ask not. You got a problem? Ask Jesus to help you. Along with your friends, if you're struggling in your marriage, many times we don't see it from the outside until it's too late, okay? But if you're struggling, let me give you some good advice. If you're having issues, don't bottle up your feelings, your hurts, your wants, your desires. Talk about it. Find someone that you can talk openly to and work through it. I say this a lot. I believe it's very true. I believe any relationship can be healed if you put God first and you want to heal it. Talk honestly, openly, communicate. Only then can you really get true spiritual healing. You know, I was talking to someone here a while back, and we were talking about healing. And someone was sick and wanting prayer. Here's what I said, and I believe this wholeheartedly. Healing, true healing, comes when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because He heals you from the penalty of sin. All this other stuff is just the process that we go through to get to where God is. Right? So, I submit to you this, Creator, because you have not been personally healed. It's hard to, or nearly impossible to, if not impossible, to heal a personal relationship with other human beings until you've healed your spiritual relationship with God. And you can only do that by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just want to say this. You cannot be a complete individual until you do. I mean, look around you. We see people that are addicted to drugs, addicted to sex, addicted to pornography, addicted to this, addicted that, addicted to everything else, you know what they have in common. They're all looking for something to fill this empty void within them up, and it never works. And let me tell you why. Because this void that's inside of us, that's built into us by God, was left void to make room for the Holy Spirit to come in when we accept Jesus Christ, and nothing will fill it but the Spirit. If you're dealing with any of these issues, God bless you. You need help. But you've got to fill that void with Jesus. You cannot be a complete individual until you do. Listen, we've talked in this series about marriage and not being unequally yoked together. We're going to talk about that some more as we go along. That's literally talking about a believer and a non-believer because they don't go together. Because their desires from the heart are different. Can't communicate properly because your desires are different. You're struggling with these issues this morning. Maybe you're having trouble in your marriage. Maybe you don't know how to communicate. All of us can do better. I want you to know something. This is the most important thing you're going to hear this morning. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And He died on the cross for you, knowing that you might or might not accept Him. You know, that's the amazing love of God. That's hard for me to understand in my little finite brain. It's why that God would send His only begotten Son to die on that cross, knowing that millions and millions of people would reject Him, and He came anyway. That's true love. That's the love God has for you. If you want to be whole, if you want to be complete as a person, if you want to have a marriage that's complete, it all starts there. Jesus died on the cross for you. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It also tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're sitting out there thinking you don't need salvation, I got news for you. You're wrong. Everybody does. And there's not but one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only begotten Son of God. And He'll save us from the penalties of sin. He will save us from a life wandering aimlessly. He is where the healing. And I submit to you that He is where true communication begins. Do you know how to communicate? Do you know how to talk to God? Let me tell you how. You go through Jesus Christ when we pray and when we say amen, we say in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you why. It's because it's through Jesus and what He did for us that we are allowed the privilege of prayer. You're not talking to God, folk. You need to get right. Communication. We need to work on it. I got a friend that goes in her closet, locks herself in, prays. Don't want to be disturbed. Leaves your phone outside, turns the computer off. Amen. It's God time. It's God time. Communication time. Sometimes, you know, I think that we need to learn from that and we need to have our time with God. And I don't know if it's in a closet. Sometimes it's in my pickup off down in the back pit with everything turned off and nobody around me that I can just sit there and communicate with God. Okay? But maybe you need some alone time with your spouse as well. Sometime just you and her sitting on the couch talking about the things in life that are important. True healing comes from communication. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're struggling through this life. I know you are. I've been there. Let me help you. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit will move in, take up residence, and fill that void that's in there. And then you can start working on your people communication problems. Anybody that tells you marriage is easy has never been in one, or they're crazy, one or the other. I believe that a very godly marriage that both of them are focused on God in the relationship is as close to heaven on earth as we're going to get until we go to be with the Savior. If you don't have that, you can. But you got to build it on the right building blocks. And we're going to talk about some other stuff in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about sex. But I'm going to tell you, you got to start in the right corner, build on the right block. If you don't know Him, I want you to know something. He's here this morning. The Holy Spirit's here. He says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there shall I be in the midst of them. He's here. He's here. All you have to do is follow. That still small voice, that gentle little nudge, He's leading you to where He wants you to be. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Bow. Father, as we come to You at this time, thankful, Lord, for Your word. Most especially, Lord, I thank You for Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. I thank You for sending and giving Your Son. Lord, I pray that Your will be done in each and every heart here today. Whatever the issue is, Lord, if salvation is the issue, Lord, I pray that the conviction of the Spirit would be here and that whoever, Lord, You're drawing would take that step, that leap. Maybe, Lord, there's someone here that just needs to get rid of a burden. Lord, I pray that they would just get rid of it today, that they might be healed thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you for answering prayers in advance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. He's just waiting on you. You're going to make an answer today. The Spirit's convicting you. You're either going to say yes or no. Sometimes I think we say, oh, and I get another chance. Jesus died on the cross for everybody that's ever been born. You know, I heard somebody say the other day that they didn't think heaven was going to be big enough. I got news for you, folks. God made heaven big enough for everybody. Ever been born or conceived. Don't fool yourself. He's got a spot for you. You're not going to be knocking nobody out of their spot. Okay? Here's the bad part about it. Heaven is the right side. Hell has to be enlarged because people are rejecting Jesus. You know, I think about my little cousin that's sitting over in the hospital, turned 19 Friday. He could just as easily be dead as where he's at, and he's not in good shape. God's healing him slowly. Let me tell you something. When you leave here, this may be the last opportunity you have to make your heart right with God. He's just sitting there knocking. He wants to come in. He wants to change you from in here. But you've got to let him. I'm going to sing another verse. Listen to the Spirit. Don't deny him. Accept him. Embrace the Spirit. Let him lead you. Coming our way this